Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll join in the conversation here with us this evening. And our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That's toll-free here, I guess, anywhere in the United States or Canada. And if you ain't problems with that number, you can always call the other line. That's 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. Glad to have you with us here this evening. Hope you'll stick with us and even join in the conversation here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory, we pray. And we just ask that the things that we talk about would be glorifying to you. It would help us to lift up and glorify Christ and point people to him as their Savior. Bless the program for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. Boy, I woke up this morning. It's a reminder that it's autumn, and it's getting to mid-October here in northeastern Ohio. We had down to 30 degrees at our house last night, and I thought, well, we have to be one of the colder ones since we're in a little valley where all the cold air sinks. And I was listening to the news in the morning getting ready for church, and there was a nearby reading, not too awfully far away in Medina, Ohio, where they had a 28-degree reading, but I can't complain too much, I guess, being this time of year. It warmed up really nice today. The sun came out, and it just turned out to be a beautiful autumn day. And I don't know if you had a chance last Wednesday morning to see the lunar eclipse. It's number two in the blood moon tetrad. And, of course, a lot of people have been talking about that happening. And that's a series of four total lunar eclipses that happen in succession, two in one year and two in the next year, but not just to two in each year. That in and of itself, while it's not common, is not terribly unusual. It's the four where there's one on the Jewish festival of Passover in the spring, and then Sukkot in the fall, and then again the following year on Passover in the spring and Sukkot in the fall. And number two in that tetrad was this past Wednesday morning. And here in the eastern side of the United States, it was kind of hard to see all of it because the moon was setting in the west as the lunar eclipse was occurring. And it was early in the morning. We got up about 6:15 or so, and we actually had to drive up the road and get into an area where we could get a good view of the west, because where we were at, the moon was well below the trees, so we couldn't see anything till we drove up out of the little valley that we're in. And it was nice. If you've never seen a lunar eclipse, they are interesting to look at. It's just interesting, and certainly it gets us thinking about things in the Bible, and perhaps we'll talk a little bit about that this evening. But if you've got a question, as I said, about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 this evening. And we'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Also wanted to mention something else before I forget about it here. After resisting this for quite some time, for a couple of years, I've resisted Facebook for some time, and I've had people ask me if we're on Facebook or anything about that. And I have resisted it, but we were talking here one day last week and said, well, it's kind of like one of those things we sort of have to do if we want to do more to help with the program and to reach people and to expand the outreach of the program. And so after a little bit of much trepidation, we ended up starting a Facebook page for the program, and you can find it at Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And I'm new to Facebook. I've never done it before, and I've done lots of other things online. I do our website at livewithpastoral.com, as well as our church website and some other websites that I'm involved in. But Facebook is a whole other animal, and so we do have that. So I'm trying to get some things on there to help people know a little bit more about the show, as well as to find some back programs, or at least to lead you to our regular website, livewithpastoral.com, where we have past programs listed there, where you can listen to them there in an MP3 file format. You can listen to them there. And also just some different things we're trying to do with the Facebook. But bear with us as I learn more about it and get a little better understanding of what I'm doing. Hopefully we'll have some interesting things on that. But if you get the chance, if you want to go and check out our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, and like our Facebook page, that'd be great. I guess that's the right terminology, and we will see what happens with that. So, again, encourage you to check out our Facebook page at Live with Pastor Al. And let's see, I think there's anything, I'm trying to think if I had another announcement I wanted to make before we get into our calls, but we do have a caller calling in this evening, and we have John calling in tonight. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad you didn't mention pizza. I haven't had supper yet.
Well, you need to get over. Well, it's too late. You can't get over to East Coast Pizza yet. You'll have to hold that appetite for tomorrow.
Oh, I don't think I can wait that long.
I'd be with you. I didn't eat before I came here. People hear my stomach growling.
Yeah. So, you were mentioning the tetrad.
Right.
And two of them are on Passover.
And the sequence of them, I think there's about 10 or so, 9 or 10 since the time of Christ. And they've all occurred on Passover and then Sukkot, and then the following year on Passover and Sukkot. And that's the combination that makes for the Blood Moon Tetrad that everybody gets excited about.
I had a question about Passover.
Mm-hmm.
I had two different references. The first reference is Leviticus 23:5.
Right, right. It's one of the Feasts of the Lord that's identified there. It's the first one.
Okay. I was going to have you compare the two verses.
Okay.
Is it possible for you to read Leviticus 23:5?
Yeah, let me get turned over there. And
so this is from the Law of Moses.
Right. In fact, I'm turning over there. In our church, we actually went through seven feasts that are there in Leviticus.
Right.
And it was an interesting study. Jesus, in his first coming, he fulfilled actually many of the prophetic implications of the first, the spring feasts. And so it's thought in his second coming, he'll fulfill the prophetic aspects of the autumn feast. But in right. Leviticus chapter 23, do you have the verse there?
Verse 5.
Yeah, right here. Well, actually, I'll start in verse number 4, where it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover."
Okay, I wanted you to compare that with 2 Chronicles 30, verses 1 and 2.
2 Chronicles?
Yeah.
Let me take a look.
You'll notice that it says it's the 14th day of the first month there in Leviticus.
Right. 2 Chronicles.
Compare that with 2 Chronicles 30, verses 1 and 2.
All right. And, And Hezekiah sent to all Israel, and Judah wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover of the Lord. Oops, lost my place here. They should keep the Passover. Turn my page in and get back here. Get back on the right side. That they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in Leviticus, it says it's the 14th day of the first month, but in Chronicles, it's the 14th day of the second month.
Well, in this particular case, you're absolutely right. And
why would there be a difference? Is it fluctuating? Or
no. The next verse, verse number 3, is the reason. Okay. It says in verse 3, "For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together in or together to Jerusalem." Because if you go back in the previous chapter, we see this revival taking place during Hezekiah's reign. In chapter 29, it says in verse 1, "Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done." And if you notice, one of the first things he does in verse 3, it says, "He in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them." And the reason for that is that Ahaz, his father, was a wicked king.
Right.
And he had disobeyed God and engaged in idolatry and such not, and not followed the word of God. And the temple, according to this, it had fallen into disrepair. And so he, first thing he does, the first year of his reign, he has the temple being repaired, and he's gathering then in verse 4 the priests and the Levites. And he says to them in verse 5 that they're to sanctify themselves and the house of the Lord, and they're to clean it up. And he says in verse 7, talking about their fathers had shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and not burned incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel. So they had stopped doing what God had told them to do. And amongst those things was keeping the feast days like they should have been. And so Hezekiah led the nation in a national revival. And he wanted to observe the Passover, but they were having a shortage of priests, for one thing, because if you look at the end of chapter 29, verse 34, it says, "But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests." And so as all this is going on, God is working in the nation. Verse 36 says, "And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly." So when we we go from that to chapter 30, you see that the priests are in short supply. This thing is done suddenly. And so as a result, they delay the keeping of the Passover until the second month.
If they had gotten everything prepared, would they have been out of line to do it in the second month?
Well, I believe that, and I'm thinking that there was provision when they initially began the Passover, keeping the Passover. There was a provision that if somebody had been traveling, if somebody had been unclean or something like that, that they could keep the Passover on a different day.
Okay.
But the day was specifically given as the first month, the 14th day of the first month, like you said in Leviticus chapter 23. But there was provision made on extenuating circumstances that it could be observed on a different day. Just like somebody today might be traveling and they might want to celebrate, let's say, Christmas with somebody a week early or maybe a week late or something like that, or even celebrate their birthday early or late.
Another interesting verse I found about the Passover was in 2 Kings 23, 21 through 25.
All right, 2 Kings 23. And while I'm turning there, let me give out those phone numbers again. If you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're in 2 Kings chapter 23, did you say?
Right, verses 21 through 25.
All right, down verse 21 here it says, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem.
I'm getting from those verses that David and Solomon didn't celebrate the Passover.
No, it just says that the Passover that was celebrated by
king?
Josiah, he did it up bigger than what David or Solomon had, or any of the other kings.
So in other words, it's not saying that King David and King Solomon didn't celebrate.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's just saying that, let's read it again here. He says that in verse 22, that's the key verse, surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. It would be like on the 4th of July that the nation decided to have a gigantic nationwide celebration of Independence Day, bigger than ever has happened in the history of our country. That wouldn't mean that we've never celebrated the 4th of July before, the Independence Day. It would just simply mean that this was the biggest celebration of that holiday that we've ever seen.
Because I was thinking back in the writings of David, the Psalms, and the writings of Solomon, which was Proverbs, you never hear them talk about the Passover.
Off the top of my head, I can't really say whether they addressed it directly or not. It may be that they never directly addressed it. I know most of the stuff on the Passover initially is, you know, was Moses talking about it, because, of course, the giving of the law. And then we see the examples of it in, you know, in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, I believe.
Because I don't think David could have celebrated the Passover anyways, because the temple wasn't in existence.
Well, if that was the case, Moses couldn't have celebrated the Passover.
Well,
because there was no temple or tabernacle before when the Passover was initially given. Because remember, they were in Egypt when the first Passover took place. Remember?
Right.
That was one of the things. In fact, it coincided with the final plague or judgment against Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died, and the firstborn throughout the land, except for people who had followed God's word through Moses and Aaron to sacrifice the Passover lamb and put the blood on the doorposts. And then as they were there inside of that house, the Bible says that the angel passed over the house, the angel that took the lives of the firstborn in the houses without the blood. He passed over the houses that had the blood, and so hence the term the Passover.
How do you go about determining the 14th day of the first month?
Well, the Jewish calendar would give you that. If you had a Jewish calendar, you would be able to see they had the month Nisan the first day of the month.
But,
let's see. I'm just trying to flip through here and see if I have a. Yeah.
What day do you start counting from the
14th? It starts with the Passover would be, the 14th day would be on the, I believe it was tied to the full moon.
I believe it's
tied with the full moon. So it has to do, because the Jewish calendar goes by lunar months, not solar months. It's not tied to the solar year. It's believed, actually, that prior to the flood, the flood of Noah's day, that the earth actually made a circuit around the sun in 360 days. And that's why not only the Jewish year was a 360-day year, but also many ancient cultures had a 360-day year. And also that would be why we have 360 degrees in a circle rather than 365, because initially each degree would have corresponded to one day of the Earth's orbit around the sun. So also prior to the flood, it's believed that the moon's orbit around the Earth would have exactly coincided, so that there would have been exactly the 12 months of the cycle from full moon to full moon,
so,
or from new
have,
moon to new moon, however they counted it.
They would have been basing their knowledge on antediluvian knowledge then.
Yeah, because that's what would have carried down to them, and that's why cultures that had the 360-day year had to insert, cultures that went with the lunar cycle had to insert extra days, because even the Jewish calendar, for instance, they had leap years added at different times. They even added a leap month at the end of the year sometimes, because, see, if you just went by the lunar calendar today, eventually, Passover, which is the first of the spring festivals, or holy days, would be celebrated in the dead of winter, or in the middle of the summer, or in the fall, or
right.
Various times of the year. So there was leap days put in. Some days were given extra days, and like I said, in a whole extra month would be added sometimes.
That's what confuses me, is how they would be able to figure out the exact 14th day, unless you said
it was tied with the moon. And you can tell when it's the spring because of the position of the sun. Remember, God said that the sun and the moon and the stars were put in the skies for signs and for seasons.
But it always had to be the 14th day then, right?
Which would be about the middle of the month, roughly, And it was a full moon. I'm sorry, it was a full moon definitely on Passover. So it would have been essentially the first, I'm going to see if I can get this correctly, it would have been the first full moon following the spring equinox. And remember, people in times past paid a lot more attention to the night sky than we do, and also to the positions of the sun. You know, we just watch the calendar and the clock. They had to actually study the position of the sun in relation to things around them, and the moon and the constellations in the sky, because at this time of year, for instance, I can go out and certain constellations are beginning to appear in the sky, like Orion, for instance. But in the spring, Orion disappears, and you can't see him anymore until fall comes around, and then Orion is mostly in the sky during the winter months. And so as you watch the constellations, you know, people today don't look up in the sky. And if you live in the city, it's no wonder, because the light pollution, you don't see, you probably don't even see a tenth of the stars that people dwelling in areas without light pollution see, and right. such as our forefathers. When my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, we're out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the South Pacific, and the night sky was absolutely stunning. I can't even hardly begin to describe the absolute density of stars that you could see in the night sky, especially when you saw the Milky Way, the edge of the Milky Way galaxy, like a white speckled band stretched across the sky. And most people listening to me right now have never seen that.
Right.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you look at it. But it
Thank
also,
you.
I'm sorry.
I said I was going to thank you for clearing up those three verses.
Yeah, well, and thank you for that. And we're coming up on the break, and I appreciate that call tonight, John.
Okay.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, thank you.
And again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We're going to be on till midnight. You can get in right now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And got a couple things I want to go over in the second half, and it might touch on yet another thing dealing with Passover as well in the second half. But also want to remind you before we get into the break here, check out our new Facebook page and like us on Facebook. It's Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And I guess you just go on to Facebook and in the search thing you look for, you enter in Live with Pastor Al, and that hopefully will get you to our page. And you can like us, and that way we can see who's listening. And we're trying to put up some clips on there. There's a couple clips on there right now. One of them is from our program last week where we looked at the Islamic State, the Kurds, and Isaiah 17, I believe, or I'm sorry, Isaiah 13, the prophecy of Babylon and the Kurds. The Medes, which, of course, the Kurds would be the descendants of the Medes. Well, we're coming up on a break right now. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back to our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here. And if you've got a question about the Bible, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, toll free. Love to hear from you tonight. If you have trouble with that number, you can always call 216-901-0933. And I just wanted to remind you, we're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, Richfield, Ohio. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School, and that's in Garfield Heights, Ohio, for our Ohio listeners. And you can give them a call for pickup or delivery. Call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school, 216-341-9100. Also, if you're interested in getting into your own pizza business, maybe you'd like to open a pizza shop, or maybe you already have a restaurant or some establishment and you'd like to serve pizza, your own pizza, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started with your own pizza shop or your own pizza in your present place of business. Call East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. It doesn't matter whether you're in Florida or Ohio or somewhere in between. He'd love to help you out there. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight at 888-677-9673. And we have Walter calling in from Riverview, Florida. Walter, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor.
Hey, great to have you with us tonight.
Pastor, my question is, in the New Testament, it speaks of, we have three witnesses in heaven, Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Right, in 1 John chapter 5.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it also says there's three witnesses on earth, the water, the word, and the blood.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a satisfactory answer. Can you give me that?
All right. And what part of that in particular while I'm turning there?
I understand the water on my part would be the Holy Spirit. And the Word, again, would be representative of the Holy Spirit. And the blood would be that which the Lord shed for our sins. So I guess I just need to understand what the water and the word is.
All right. Let me take a look here. And I'll read the two verses there together. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And then verse 8, "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one." And, we look at this, the Spirit, obviously, that's easy to understand, like you said, because it's capitalized. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and that certainly bears witness in the earth. Remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? Remember what happened at that time. The Spirit of God came down on him. In the form of a dove. And, of course, we also heard the voice of God the Father saying, you know, "This is my beloved Son." And so we have that testimony there of the Holy Spirit. And I think just looking at this, I'm going to say that the water probably refers to the actual baptism that Jesus went through, because that is a testimony, because that is one of the places where the Spirit of God did bear witness to him that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. And then certainly the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin, I would say, is a a witness that Jesus is the Christ, because you or I could not shed our blood for the sins of all humanity, not even for our own sins. And these three agree in one. Water there, I believe that some people would probably claim that the water would represent our baptism, in the sense that when we're baptized, I baptize somebody, and as I lower them under the water, I say, I'm baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so as they go under the water, they're giving a public testimony, a witness of Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I would say that water probably would have most to do with baptism, either Jesus' baptism, our baptism, or both. I mean, because both do bear witness, the baptism of Christ when the Father and the Holy Ghost bore witness of his being the Messiah, and then, of course, our baptism when we bear witness of our testimony that we believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. And then the blood of Christ, of course, that cleanses from all sin. The Bible says, that in Revelation chapter 12, where it says that they overcome them by the blood. Oh, let me turn over there. I'm not going to quote that correctly. Revelation chapter 12, let's see here, and it says that they overcome. Now, of course, when I want to turn over there, I'm not going to find that where they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Let's see. There it is. Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And so the blood of Christ always is a constant thing in heaven, bearing witness to our salvation. The blood of Christ that's applied to the mercy seat in heaven. And so these things bear witness, of course. The blood is what saves us. The baptism represents our belief in what Christ did on the cross. And then a Holy Spirit, of course, is who opened our eyes to the truth of that message. Does that help you out?
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay, well, yeah, it's that's a good thing, because most times we focus on the verse prior to that there in 1 John 5:7, talking about the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And usually that's where I get the question asked. I think you're the first person to ask specifically about verse 8 there. So, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, we know that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is one,
right?
And they're in heaven, and God is all around and knows everything that goes on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking that as, I don't know how to really explain it, but very quickly, there's something about the water, the Word, and the blood that is presently active through the church to the unbelieving world.
Yeah, I would say the key is that, like you said, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, they bear record in heaven, but these three, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, they bear witness in earth. And so the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of people today, opening their eyes to the truth of the gospel. And then as people see a baptism take place, it's bearing witness, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then, of course, when people see lives change, that's a witness born, a witness to the effectiveness of the gospel, by people's lives being changed because their sins have been washed away through the blood of Christ.
Okay.
So,
all right, sir.
Yeah, I think kind of on the same sort of path there. In fact, there was a case where we had a gentleman at our church years ago, before my wife and I ever went to the mission field. We had an elderly gentleman. He was like 78 or 79 when he got saved. And at his baptism, his wife, who was only like about a year younger than him, she got saved because she saw the change in her husband's life because of the blood of Christ that had cleansed him from all sin. And the Holy Spirit was working in her heart. And as she saw him give a public testimony of his faith in Christ at the baptism service, she surrendered herself to the Lord and asked Christ to save her. And both of them are in heaven today.
Amen to that.
So I think that's probably the best way to look at that, is that here in earth, these three things are working together to point people to Christ.
Okay.
So, hey, I appreciate your call there tonight.
Yes, sir. And Pastor, thank you, and God bless you.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Appreciate the question there tonight, and give us a call again sometime.
I certainly will.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have Jeremiah on the phone next. Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al, how are you doing?
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
I have a song. A hymn I like to play a song for you. I can't sing, but...
I won't really have time to do that because I've got other callers calling in. Oh. But if you can just give us the name of it and the gist of it.
It's Amazing Grace.
Oh, how sweet the sound. That's right.
It's a great song. One of my favorite hymns.
Oh, yeah. And did you have something you wanted to say about that song?
Just a great song.
Oh, absolutely. Have you read the testimony of Newton, the author of that song?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you ought to do that sometime. If you get a chance, you can, if you have access to the internet, you can just Google, I think it's John Newton? Last name's Newton. I can't think of the name, first name. But if you just Google Amazing Grace and Newton, you can find his life story. Newton was a wicked man. In fact, he was such a reprobate that people gave up on him. He ended up working as on a slave ship, which was usually considered some of the lowest of low places to work. And he got so depraved that the other people working on the slave ship threw him overboard. He washed ashore. I'm trying to remember the exact location. I believe it was in North Africa, where he was captured and he was turned into a slave himself. And he served as a slave in North Africa for a period of time, and he finally escaped. And by the time he finally made it back to England, somewhere along the way, God got a hold of him, and God's grace turned him around, and he put his faith in Christ as his Savior, and became a believer, and his sins were forgiven. And that's why he wrote in the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. And he said in the song, a wretch like me. I think some versions even say a worm like me. And he says, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And I encourage you, Jeremiah, look up, find out if you can get online somewhere. There's also books available on hymn stories. And when you read the background of some of these people that wrote some of these hymns, some of these old hymns, the stories that people wrote were incredible. I just thought of Fanny Crosby when she wrote talking about when she gets to heaven and the first face that she sees is Jesus. Most people don't realize that Fanny Crosby, when she was born, the doctor was supposed to put some, I forget what the substance was in her eyes, it was supposed to clean them out. And he put the wrong thing in, and he blinded her when she was born. And she was blind all her life. And what she was saying in the song was, not only the first face that I see in heaven is going to be Jesus, but the first face she would ever see was going to be Jesus.
And a lot of Christian artists take that Amazing Grace song and make it a good song.
Yeah, it's an excellent song, and the verses are short. And it's a great song. We use that at our church for baptisms. We sing that after baptism because it's appropriate.
There's Michael W. Smith that has a hymn CD out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big music person, so I'm not up on all the artists and everything. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a tremendous, tremendous hymn, and a lot of churches will use that quite frequently. But appreciate that, Jeremiah. I got another caller calling in. So, but appreciate that call and that bringing that to our attention. That's a great song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Thanks. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have Fran calling in tonight. Fran, welcome to the program this evening.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, good evening.
I'm calling in about the pro-life and, you know, pro-family. Is there something you can get, like, anywhere to be able to know who the candidates for the pro-life?
Let's see. Now, you're in Ohio. You're in the Cleveland area. And I know that Ohio Right to Life Online has some information, but Ohio has the Ohio Christian Alliance. And I believe their website is OhioCA for Christian Alliance. .com or .org. Let's see. I had something here. Let me see if I can find it here. OhioCA.org, and they have updates for Ohio, not just the Cleveland area, but Ohio. And I know there are other sites. I think if people are listening in Florida or West Virginia, there's equivalent organizations, pro-life organizations in those states that can give you sample ballots where they've interviewed candidates or gone to their websites and their materials, and they've looked at them. And I would encourage all of our listeners, first off, make sure if you still have time that you can get registered to vote, and then actually vote. I mean, so many Christians do not vote, and then they complain about what happens because when they didn't vote. I encourage you to vote. And something I've encouraged people to do, if you don't like any of the candidates, at least here in Ohio, there's nothing that says you can't come in and pick up your ballot, get your name checked off in the book, and then turn around and vote an unmarked ballot. A lot of people don't think you can do that. There's no law in Ohio that I know of, and I work in the elections at the local precinct when people come in to vote. And people undervote all the time. There'll be a question on some judges. They don't know who anybody is. And so rather than vote for the wrong guy, they just leave it blank. But the fact of the matter is they showed up and they voted. So if you don't agree with who's on the ballot, show up, get a ballot, and turn it in unmarked. You can do that. They might question you, but it's your right. And or if there's only one issue on the entire ballot that you want to vote for that one. But make it an informed vote, like Fran, like you're asking about. Do some research. Sometimes there's local papers or newsletters that are put out that list the positions on various issues of interest. But with the internet today, oftentimes you can go to, like I said, places like some of the Right to Life websites. Local state Right to Life type websites, the Ohio Christian Alliance or equivalent websites in other states where you can find out who the pro-life candidates are on the ballot, or at least find out who the pro-abortion candidates are on the ballot so you can avoid voting for them.
Right.
There are resources out there that are available. And one of the things the rise of the Tea Party has done is that there's a lot of organizations, grassroots organizations out there active in local areas, active in on state basis or county basis, regional areas that look into these things and they rate the candidates. And talk to people at church, too, on your local races and see if they know. I'd encourage you, like you said, get out and take a look, see what's out there, do a little research.
Yeah, we got to turn this situation around in America with these they're pro-life people, candidates.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, if you watch the election so many times, and I see this because, like I said, working at the local precinct on election day, I can see the list of the people that we have that are eligible voters, and I can see how many don't come in to vote. And the general election is bad enough, but when it's a primary election, It really is. It's a shame how many people do not show up during the primary to help pick who's going to be on the ballot in the general election in the fall. And then when the general election shows up, they complain about who's on the ballot, but they didn't use their opportunity with the vote to try and influence who's on the ballot. And it can be done, but you have to show up in numbers. God's people are called to be salt and light in the world. We're not salt and light if we're not doing anything. Salt doesn't do any good in the salt shaker, and light doesn't do any good under a basket.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Fran, for calling. I appreciate that. And again, remind you, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're on here every Sunday night from 11 until midnight in northeastern Ohio on AM 1220, The Word, and then out of Tampa, Florida on AM 570 WTBN, as well as 910 AM WWTD, and that's Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. And we're glad to be on the air there. And between the two signals, I think if the weather conditions just right, you turn your antenna in just the right direction, and you stand on one foot and rub your head and pat your stomach at the same time, I think you can get our program throughout most of the eastern United States. But AM radio has some benefits in that area, especially at night, and especially as we get into the fall and into the winter months, where the signal actually carries even further. But you can always check us out at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We have past programs there that you can listen to on there in an MP3 format. And there's some other bits of information there. And check out our new Facebook page. And you can like us on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. I encourage you to check that out. We're hopefully going to be able to do some more with that in the future. It'd be nice to see who's listening and see some of the things that people have to say. And so we're looking forward to developing that here in the coming weeks and months ahead. And, of course, we'll be with you again Sunday night. One of the things that you can get by going to our Facebook page or to livewithpastoral.com is for those of you who are not in an area where you can hear our Friday afternoon program, we have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon on AM 1220, The Word, here in northeastern Ohio, and that airs from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. Those programs are also there available through our webpage or our Facebook page. And to just give you an example, I was mentioning about how last Sunday night, the segment dealing with the Islamic State, the Kurds, and Isaiah 13 is available there. Last Friday afternoon, we had a question about Jeremiah chapter 49 and a prophecy dealing with Elam, which is located in a portion of Iran today, and dealing with a prophecy about Elam, and we covered that on last Friday's program, and that's available online as well. So we look forward to hearing from you, and tune in again next week. We're out of time tonight, and I hope you have a great week. God bless, and keep looking up.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.